Since I met you, all I won't do is waste some time, waste some time, waste some time. Waste some time, waste some time, waste some time. Waste some time, waste some time, waste some time. Waste some time.
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. And this is probably the episode that's going to be dated the quickest because we're waiting for the GM hire, which will probably happen by the time you're listening to this episode. So we figured it, we'd put in the position review people care about the least, the tight end review, and we'll do a little quick talk about rumors. Justin, how you feeling going into the Friday where we think our GM will be hired between Joe Shane, Adam Peters, and Ryan Poles?
Yeah, Bobby Skinner, I have a feeling that an emergency episode is going to need to come Friday morning, Friday afternoon. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. If you're taking a weekend trip anywhere, you know, we got you. You know, hopefully there's going to be a new GM that's going to be hired. Bobby, we're going to the Senior Bowl in like 9 days. Doesn't feel like 9 days. There's so much shit that we got to do before then.
Got a lot of
then.
Reports done.
Yeah, we got to get a lot of reports done and stuff like that. I'm excited for everything that we have coming up. GM search. Head coach search. I mean, good chance that they're doing head coach search while we're at the Senior Bowl. There's going to be so much going on. But I'm doing good, though. How are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm doing even better because this episode was brought to us by three members of the new family. We got Jonathan Rung, which is a great last name because it's just like you could just add your bell. Like Jonathan Rung your bell or Rung his bell.
Okay.
Peter Joyce.
Nice.
Rejoice for Peter. And then we got Matt with no last name. I feel like that's like our fifth Matt with no last name. Like
it's okay.
Matt just seems like a name. I guess people don't want their identities revealed. Justin, who are these rejoicing bell ringers?
Sketchy Matts. I'll tell you what. Patreon.com/talkinggiants. You get some stickers. Bobby will send you some stickers, some magnets, either one of those. You also get entered into shirt raffles twice a month. And if you do an extra tier, if you do the $10 tier, you get even more access to shirt raffles. And there's less people, so you're more likely to win. And you get to hang out with us and watch the shows live and hang out with us and chat with us. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Thanks to our patrons. Love you.
All right, so this will be probably the shortest episode in Talking Giants history. We're going to do our tight end review. First, Dan Quinn was requested as an interview. Can I say, I just don't understand. I can understand Dan Quinn getting a interview or two interviews. I don't understand why he seems to be like the hot commodity, where like it seemed like destiny for the Broncos as soon as the season was over. Like he's like the hot name on the market right now. Everyone wants to interview Dan Quinn, and I don't know. I view him as like in Atlanta as like an objectively bad head football coach. Like I know they went to the Super Bowl and they lost Kyle Shanahan and fell apart. And he didn't work hand-in-hand with Kyle Shanahan.
Uh-huh.
Totally threw me off there.
Yeah.
Like, his defenses were bad for a long time in Atlanta.
Yeah, Dallas was, like, the exception. And there's a caveat to the
good
Dallas.
Good job, but it's, like, it's, you know, like, do we... I just don't... I'm surprised that he's getting all this head coach love.
Yeah, there's a caveat. There's a little asterisk that you have to put with that Dallas defense. You know, I certainly was hyping him up during the regular season, but then I thought of this. I saw some other people bring this up. Defensive turnovers is not really a thing that is stable on a year-by-year basis, like predicting turnovers and how well a defense does enforcing those turnovers. So you kind of take that out of the Dallas defense. I think they're still a top 10 defense, but they go from, I think, bottom half of top 10 on an EPA basis. When you take out the turnovers, if you just look at defenses and you remove turnovers and then you add turnovers, and then they're like a top two defense. So you do have to keep that in mind when evaluating the Dallas defense. And like you said, Bobby, Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. And for a good portion of many years when he was the coach of the Falcons, they did not have good defenses.
Yeah, it's just like, again, I'm not mad that he's getting an interview opportunity, but it's just, I'm just talking about like just NFL big picture. Like, why is Dan Quinn so like highly coveted after? Like, if anything, Gus Bradley deserves more of a shot than this guy, you know.
Vic Fangio deserves more of a shot than
Vic
Dan
Fangio,
Quinn.
Like, if Vic Fangio was our head coach, I would be happy with that. You know, obviously, I would still want to go offensive-minded, but, like, Vic Fangio over Dan Quinn, 10 times out of 10 without even blinking. Even 10 times out of 10 over Brian Flores, who, you know, it seems like the Giants will probably have some type of interest in. So, that's, yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. why Dan Quinn is getting all this love. And, you know, we went through the GM search, but, like, I think we're going to feel good about our options. Like, what should we do about our three options at GM that we're as we're talking right now? Head coach, it's like, man, there's some good options out there, too. If Dan Quinn is our head coach, I will be disappointed. Like, I'll give him his fair shot, you know, give him his fair shot, and you judge it as his go, but I just feel like that would not be the best hire.
Yeah, it would depend on the offensive coordinator for me. I won't get automatically disappointed, because I don't think... Did he call the defensive plays in Atlanta? I don't quite know.
Yes, but, and then he gave it to Raheem Morris, and... But yes, he was responsible for those defenses.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I wouldn't come on the show and I wouldn't be slamming my fist against my desk, but it would just be like, I felt like we could do better. And I think the whole point, I think if the Giants and John Mara say we want things to be new, I think everybody should be new. And I think we should just try it. We should try to forge our own path of the McVays of the world, of the Kyle Shanahans of the world. John Lynch was new. Shanahan was new. We should try to forge the path of... If we want everything to be new, then make it new. Don't try to half-ass it with the head coach and retread that we already know what he kind of is.
But I'm fine with retreads because you look around the NFL. Like, you know, I remember in during the 2020 coaching search, I brought up the stats. I was like, look at the Super Bowl champions over the last 20 years. It's like over 50% were retreads. Now, Bill Belichick contributed to that a lot, but like it's basically half. So I'm fine with the retread. Like, Brian Flores, like, you know.
Do we even count Bill Belichick as a retread? Because didn't the Browns, like, disassemble as a franchise for a little bit, and then they, like, came back?
He got fired. He's a retread.
Okay.
But, like, you'll look around the league. Like, you know, Andy Reid is a retread.
Yeah.
I was making the case for Ron Rivera when I was saying that. So I got no problem with that. It's just Dan Quinn. Yeah. Like, Dan Quinn hasn't shown me enough to... Like, Doug Peterson would be more intriguing to me than Dan Quinn.
Yeah. Also, are we, just a question for you. Number one, we're not excited about, hey, Dan Quinn, is this the first head coach that we're announcing that we're going to request an interview? So that's number one. So we address that. But then number two, I'm okay with just requesting to interview him because I think it's coming from all three of these GM candidates, these final GM candidates that are left. I think ownership got the impression that Dan Quinn is on their list of guys that they would interview if they got the job, and that's why they requested him, right? Not that ownership is meddling. Is that
no? Yeah, that didn't raise any eyebrows because they seem to be doing the right thing, and reports are coming out that they are doing the right thing and giving GM full control. So it just seems like they're kind of getting ahead of, like, hey, we're going to have a GM here in the next few days. Let's go ahead and shoot that request in. It was either one at the time. It's like, okay, they have the GM hire. We're going to hear the news pretty, really soon. Or like you said, it's like all three of those guys talked about wanting to interview Dan Quinn. So why not put in an interview request for Dan Quinn?
Yeah. Jordan Ronan had the fun tweet about carte blanche. That's the phrase they used. The most encouraging thing to take from this Giants GM search from what I've heard, that being Jordan Ronan, they're offering carte blanche to candidates to reshape the organization. The Giants' way of operating is about to change drastically, no matter who is hired. And that makes me happy.
Bam. How about that, Jordan Ronan?
Who do we think it's going to be, GM?
Joe Shane.
I'm with
you. It just seems like it. No one's reported that like he's the real favorite. It just, everyone's just been like, kind of seems like it. They interviewed him first both times. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Adam Peters either, though. I'm expecting it to be Joe Shane, but wouldn't be surprised if it was Adam Peters. I would be surprised if it's Ryan Poles at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. Step for step.
All right, any ads this week? We don't have any ads on this episode, right?
No ads.
Son of a bitch. All right, let's do our time
review. Can I give
an
ad? We'll give a little ad. Talking football. We're starting to sprinkle in some videos, sprinkle in some posts. So Talking Football, YouTube channel. Not really a formal show yet, but we are doing recaps for the Saturday games that are going to be this week and the Sunday games, so that's going to be two videos that are going to be coming out this weekend. Bobby did a little bit of a film breakdown on a Micah Hyde interception. He probably, if there's a cool play, Bobby will break it down with the old 22 from the postseason. It'll go on the Talking Football channel and all of our draft breakdowns. So Talking Football, go subscribe on the YouTube channel. Not a podcast yet, so go subscribe on the YouTube channel. It'll be a podcast this fall.
Maybe not. We had a meeting with John Boy Media today, and they kind of said, like, you know, maybe we just never do a Talking Football podcast. We just put out banger videos. Who knows?
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. It depends on how you guys react to this crap. All right, tight end review. So we did linebacker review. We're getting like the bad ones out of the way because there's actual real news right now. Tight end review. So we got Evan Engram, Kyle Rudolph, and Caden Smith. A very underwhelming group overall. Evan Engram and Kyle Rudolph both had career lows in yards per game. Evan Engram's was by far. Kyle Rudolph was just barely lower than his rookie season. It was lower, you know, significantly lower than all of them. You say, oh, well, with Daniel Jones got hurt, I'm sure that's impacted it big time. Nope, Kyle Rudolph actually averaged 2 more yards per game with the backup QBs. Kyle Rudolph, or Evan Engram, had 4.5 yards less. So, it a little bit of an impact, but still, if you went from the per-game rate with Daniel Jones, it would still been a career low. Now, that being said, Evan Engram led the team in receptions and touchdowns, but was third in yards to Kenny Golladay and Kadarius Toney. And it gets viewed as not a horrible year for Evan Engram because he didn't have the drop passes that led to, one, just drop passes overall, but drop passes that led to turnovers, even though he did have a fumble in his first game and got booed like crazy. But besides the drops, this was Evan Engram's worst year of his career by far.
Yeah.
You know, and it seems like a group of guys besides Caden Smith that it's time to move on from. Like, I don't think both either one of these guys and Evan Engram or Kyle Rudolph are back.
Yeah, and the question still remains. I guess we'll start with Engram first. The question still remains, what does this guy do well besides run a straight line fast? That question still remains. I think he's a really good athlete. Think he can provide something for a good offense, but I think that offense already needs to be good. I don't think Evan Engram makes the offense a good offense. I think you already need to have a good offense, and then Evan Engram can fit somewhere. So, what does Evan Engram do well besides run a straight line well, Bobby?
It doesn't. You know, he's a mediocre at best route runner. He does have bad hands. He floats in times where it's like you need awareness. You know, there was one screenplay with Andrew Thomas,
and it was the Eagle game.
Yeah, and Andrew Thomas washed his guy, and Evan Engram just keeps floating. You know, and we even go back to the preseason game where, like, that interception by Daniel Jones versus the Patriots, and it's like, Evan Engram, stop floating. Like, find a hole and sit in it. And again, like, he just hasn't, since 2019, he hasn't been a good player. You know, again, congrats on not getting the drops this year, but he had 46 catches this year. In 2020, he had 63. 408 yards. In 2020, he had 654. He had the 3 touchdowns to the 1 touchdown. But again, he had more yards in every single season in the NFL now. 5 years in the NFL, he had never had less yards than he had this season. Guess what, Justin? In 2019, he played 8 games. He had more yards than this. In 2018, he played 11 games. More yards than this.
Yeah.
27.2 yards per game this season. That's, to the rest of his career, 40.9, 58.4, 52.5, 48.1. So none of us were expecting Evan Engram to have some huge role. But as his role got a little bigger with injuries, it's like, yeah, he didn't have the drops and had a decent game here and there, but it's just like he's not a good player, and he's not a player that the Giants should re-sign with the cap situation they're in.
No. No, and like Bobby said, 2018, he played in 11 games, 22 first downs. 2019, 23 first downs when he played in 8 games. This year, he played in 15 games. It's 21 first downs. It's 1 first down and 2 first downs less than less than what he did this year, or more, I would say more than what he did this year. And also the yards after the catch per reception, despite his average depth of target being the lowest of his career at 5 yards, the yards after the catch per reception is also the worst of his career at 4. 4 yards after the catch per reception when every single year has been more than 5.5, besides 2020 being 4.7. And we knew last year.
Well, even total yards per catch was the worst of his career too.
Yeah, so just it's tough. He's in a tough spot. You know, whether last year I would say, yeah, it's a little bit more on him with him dropping the ball and, you know, so many interceptions being on him and so many turnovers being on him. Pro Football Reference has him on the hook for 2 interceptions when targeted this year instead of 6 the previous year. So, you know, you could say, hey, it's not really on him. But like I said, the Giants offense is just not good. And I think Evan Engram, we finally learned that the breakout Evan Engram year, it's not really going to come And if Evan Engram is going to be productive, I think you need a good offense to be around him. And the Giants just don't have that right now. And I'm also done with the whole, an effort blocker. And that's what I'm kind of changing about what I how I value the tight end position for the Giants this draft season. I don't just want a tight end who is going to give a lot of good effort when he blocks. Give me a tight end that can freaking block. Like, that's a guy that I want.
It changes your offense.
It does. I appreciate you trying. But if you're not a good blocker, sorry.
Yeah, and again, I don't think either one of us have hate in our heart for Evan Engram, the way, a lot of the fan base might. But it's just, at this point in his career, he's not a good tight end. He's better suited as a tight end two role in an offense that has a bunch of crossing routes. Now, maybe we get Brian Daboll and they bring him back for cheap, and he does just that. But I do think it's time for the Giants to move on from him. And again, we're not cutting him. His deal is expiring. I wish him well. He's a player I will root for. Going forward, because if there's any player who probably deserved to hate this fan base, it was Evan Engram.
He never said peep about anything.
Yeah, and again, the fan base isn't wrong for being mad at Evan Engram. Like, he's been a bad player and he contributed to the losses, especially in 2020. But he's an average at best tight end. He doesn't do anything really well, like you said, besides running a straight line. And it's not like we got Tyreek Hill at tight end either. He's not that fast. Where it's just total game changer. So he's better fitted in a tight end two role going forward, and I just don't see that being on the Giants. That's one of the two Jerry Reese picks that are left on the roster probably going to be gone.
Yeah.
Do you think this is the very end of Evan Engram as a Giant?
Man, because now you brought up Daboll. It's not Daboll. I was corrected by Ron Swanson, who is my speech therapist, actually. Brian Daboll. If we bring him in, then I will talk myself back into, if we just expect Evan Engram to be a guy that's going to catch 30, 40 balls every year, okay. But, we've talked ourselves into, as Giants fans, this could be a guy that could catch 50, 60, 70 balls a year. And, he could be a big playmaker. He could be a big explosive play guy, blah, 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 blah. Just one of those guys where it's similar with Saquon. It's similar for, a few other guys. Will Hernandez, maybe. Need a change of scenery. It's just so much has kind of gone wrong. And so many reps of just so many bad memories. You need the change of scenery. But Dable's the only exception where I can talk myself back into it. It's like, yeah, all right, bring him back. Sure.
Change of scenery is surely be good for Evan Engram, but it's not because he's been stuck with the New York Giants that he's not a good player. It's been 5 years. He looked decent before he got hurt in 2019. Not decent. He looked good. He looked really good. If you look through the first six games, he was putting up wide receiver number one numbers, essentially. And then got hurt. All right, next on the tight end list. A player is I don't think anybody likes this guy. 32 years old, Kyle Rudolph. 26 catches, 257 yards, one touchdown. 16.1 yards per game. We paid $7 million a year for a guy who averaged 16.1 yards per game.
How many millions of dollars did we pay him?
Over 7 mil per year. Over 14 mil total.
He caught 12 first downs this year, and he got $7 million.
32 years old. He's got a 7.4 mil cap hit next season. 2.4 of that's dead cap, so you'll save $5 million if he's cut. I would be shocked if he's not cut. He just wasn't a good player. He's a good blocker, but again, you can't be paid that much and be just a good blocking tight end. It's like, we can go sign good. We can just add an extra offensive lineman out there. Like, he added nothing to this offense, and especially so because of Daniel Jones' lack of ability to throw the fade ball. Because it's like, okay, that was the one thing that Kyle Rudolph was significantly added in the passing game, was in the end zone. He could just go up and get it, and Daniel Jones and him never had that. Daniel Jones hasn't had that connection with anyone. Mm-hmm. Let alone the fact that the fade ball is one of the worst play calls in football in general. This may just be in that. Is this in the Patrick Omeme contract stratosphere, where it's just clearly from day one this was totally screwed up?
Yeah. At least Omame was at a position of need, sorta. But what they signed him for 3 years.
We're perplexed when they saw Rudolph. It's like, how does this make sense? It's like, we were just kind of like, they have to trade Engram. It doesn't make sense to bring Rudolph.
No.
And and restructured Laviah Toilolo, and oh well.
And they offered Hunter Henry money too. That's also the strange thing. It's Kyle Rudolph was their backup plan at tight end. Now, maybe they knew that they weren't going to get Hunter Henry, but they clearly prioritized tight end this offseason, but they still decided to keep Evan Engram, and they didn't use him any differently. Like, they actually used him the second half of 2020. His yards before the catch was significantly more than the rest of his career, and they put him out wide, and they didn't continue that momentum that he kind of built for himself towards the second half of 2020, where it was a little bit of momentum, and I thought in my brain, okay, use Evan Engram out wide, and then Kyle Rudolph can be your inline tight end, and it just never worked out that way. Never.
No, they really didn't even use those guys together. Like, when Kyle Rudolph was on the field, they'd either be three tight end sets, like super heavy package, or they do two tight end sets with Caden Smith or Myrick, and it's like, okay, this is clearly a blocking scheme. And don't get me wrong, he did impact the pass game as far as a pass blocker. He helped Nate Solder out a lot, and especially in the beginning of the season when Nate Solder was at his worst.
Yeah, the New Orleans game, the big John Ross touchdown, that's a max protect 12 personnel look, and John Ross runs a post route, and I think it's Rudolph that's staying in there to block and allows Daniel Jones time to step up in the pocket. So, yeah, he was big there, but that's just not enough. You don't
it's
sign
not enough
somebody
to get this contract.
$7 million to be a backup tight end who blocks well. You can't.
Or even just a backup, just a 32-year-old backup tight end in general shouldn't be getting that type of money. Now, he missed all of camp with the foot injury.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't think that really affected him. I'm sure it affected him some, but I don't think it changed his total season around.
He did look better. Now, better is a relative term, I guess. He did look better as the season went on. Like, think of that. I think it was the Los Angeles game, where this is actually my question to you. What was that?
The Rams or Chargers?
There was some game where he had like a 60-yard play.
It was the Bucks.
It was the Bucks. Sorry, excuse me. I thought it was against Chargers. So, some play where he had like a 65-yard play. And a lot of that was yards after the catch. So let's just say it was 50 yards after the catch. I want you to guess right now how many total yards after the catch Kyle Rudolph had this year. Remember, 50 of them came on one play. About.
68.
No, a little bit more. 137. But still, really, I mean, think of how bad that is. And I mean, compare it to 2020, where he played in 12 games, 164 yards after the catch. 2019 and 2018, he played a full season. He had 190 in 2019 and then 245 in 2018. So, I mean, 137 total yards after the catch, and 50 of them came on one play.
It was one catch for 28 yards in that game.
We got to figure out, I really think it's the Chargers game. What game was the really big play that he had?
Oh, you know, it was the Chargers game with Mike Lennon. You're right.
Ah, good for me.
Let me find the long from that game. Now I remember it.
Good for me. Proud of myself.
Let's see. What do we got? His long in that game was 60.
60.
But it was probably like 40 yards of...
Yeah, I'm gonna go 45-50. That's my guess.
Word up.
Probably closer to 45.
So yeah,
he's cut.
He's cut. He's gone, and I'm not missing him even in the slightest. Never once a Giant, always a Giant. Do that for Kyle Rudolph. And the whole Kadarius Toney and Dallas thing. I don't want to get too deep into that, but that just bothered me the way he kind of instigated that a little bit and then walked away and clearly didn't care at all. Like,
turned around, saw that there was a fight happening and that his teammates were in a scrum.
Just didn't even react.
Nope, just turned around, walked to the sideline.
And he killed Daniel Jones.
Did he kill Daniel Jones?
The concussion. No, I don't really blame that 100% on him. But he didn't help. Our third tight end. And here's the one I love the most. Caden Smith, 24 years old. A 100% catch rate.
People don't talk about that enough.
He only had 3 catches for 33 yards in the, you know, they came in with Evan Engram out the first 2 games of the year. You don't have that. He had a couple nice catches versus Washington and then a 9-yarder versus Atlanta. Now, he did spring Saquon's best run of the year as a lead blocker, but the knee injury, obviously, he missed half the season with the knee injury. It looks like we finally got our wish, at least for a brief period of time. Caden Smith should be the Giants' tight end one for at least a start free agency.
Yeah, at least to start free agency. I'm also pretty in on drafting a tight end right now. I'm getting excited with some of these guys that are going to be going to the Senior Bowl, like Jake Ferguson, McBride out of Colorado State, which I think in your mock draft video, little draft talk, didn't you pick McBride in like the fifth round?
Fourth or fifth. He's not going to go that low.
Yeah, I think he may be like a second
mid-season
round
mocks, their mocks are always screwed up.
Yeah, but I think he may be bumped up to a second rounder. I really like McBride. So, yeah, Caden Smith, I like him. Was he, in the brief time, this is a question that I have for you, in the brief time that he was here in the games that he played, did he look like as much of an impressive blocker in 2021 that he did in 2020?
Yeah. Now, that being said, the teams had adjusted to the Giants pulling gap scheme where they just started spilling inside on guys, so it was hard for him to make the plays. But, like, you know, they did that to him in versus Washington, and Caden Smith, like, kept his head on the swivel, flipped his hips around, and sprung Saquon Barkley's best run of the season. So, you know, credit to him that. So, Caden has never been, like, a dominant inline blocker. He's going to have some dominant plays, but he's never going to be, like, a dominant inline blocker. But he's just, to me, he's solid. He catches everything that comes his way. You know, let's go. We talked about preseason with Evan Engram. You remember the preseason catch Caden Smith had?
It's like the best catch of the year.
Every time Caden Smith has had an opportunity, no one has walked away disappointed. You know, I'm not, if you want to go hear my whole spiel on Caden Smith, go back to our tight end review last season where I broke down the 2019 versus 2020, like got really fired up about it and had like 2 days worth of tweets about it because I got so fired up about it. But again, I've never walked away from a Caden Smith game being disappointed.
Man, is the season any different? Probably not, but is the season might be because this reflects on what we do over the offseason. You keep a guy like Kevin Zeitler, you can restructure his contract, and you just say, Caden Smith, it makes sense for him to be a tight end two or a tight end one next to Evan Engram, and those guys can actually split reps. You keep a guy like Kevin Zeitler and Kyle Rudolph never steps foot in the building. I mean, how different is the offensive line? And therefore, how different is the season?
Yeah.
You know?
I agree that definitely would have been the smart move to make. But you brought it up, and I know this isn't what your point was. Kevin Zeitler clearly didn't want to be a New York Giant anymore. And, Nick Gates was better than Kevin Zeitler at the end of the last season.
Right.
And Andrew Thomas. Like, by the end of the season, Kevin Zeitler was the third best offensive line. He was definitely done with New York. And he basically admitted in a Ravens presser the other day, he's like, kind of revitalized my career coming over here.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. We love Zeitz. But they shouldn't have used that money on Kyle freaking Rudolph. They should have done something else. They should have invested in a different type of guard. I don't know who was out there, but not freaking bringing in Kyle Rudolph. That pisses me off so bad.
Yeah, because it makes all the sense in the world to not do what they did, especially when you look at who Caden Smith is. And Caden Smith is no, I don't think he's a game changer, but he's a cheap option, and he's a reliable football player. I think the one thing that you can look at Caden Smith is, you know, not exciting, kind of boring, but reliable. And I think that's what you're looking at out of your tight end too, not $7 million.
How about that? Yeah, $7 million for Kyle Rudolph. All right, do you have anything? I mean, Chris Myrick, we are a Chris Myrick podcast, but he's on the Bengals. Bengals, I've won every playoff game that he's been a part of.
True.
Coincidence? I think not. Was there any other straggler tight ends we had on the roster this year? I don't think there was. I think it was
I feel like there was a guy practice squad from the Patriots, or was that Myrick?
That was Ryan Izzo. He never made it to a Giants game. Myrick was liked more than him. But when we lost Myrick, did we pull anybody up that last game?
I don't think so.
I think we just rolled.
I think we just rolled with the two.
Did Adam Trautman get any reps? Let me see.
Adam Trautman, this is where we're at, huh?
We're
reaching.
Let me go through Giants roster real quick.
I'm closing my computer. I'm done with it.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, me and Andrew Thomas turned 30 on Saturday. And guess what? Someone got me for it.
What did someone get you?
An Andrew Thomas jersey.
Can I just admit something to the world? I did what? Not wish you a happy birthday.
It's not my birthday yet.
Oh, I thought you it's said Saturday. It was this past Saturday.
No, it's this Saturday.
Oh, okay. Then I'm not a bad guy, and I will wish you a happy good. Birthday.
Or Jake Hosmer, not Adam Trautman.
You should have went with it and acted like your birthday was this past Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely could have done that.
missed opportunity.
Jake Hosmer. Did we bring back Levine Toilolo? Nope.
We may have to, just because of depth. Like, what money do we have, and are we going to spend 2 draft picks on a tight end? Undrafted free agent. There you go. That's what we'll do.
Let's see. Jake Hosmer, Pro Football Reference stats. Did he play any snaps?
No. No way.
Nope. He
didn't. No
way. But I thought he might have been, a call up one game. He wasn't. So, yeah, we hit every single tight end, which is
impressive. Look at that. What's going to be the next position?
I probably won't be for a couple of weeks because we're about to hire a GM and start the head coach search. Yeah. And the Senior Bowl. We're probably not going to do a position review for another 3 weeks.
This is true.
We got the ones that no one wanted to hear about, inside linebacker and tight end, out of the way.
We got the filler ones out. So what are we going to, they're actually important ones next.
Yeah, offensive line isn't always an important one. Daniel Jones is always the last one we do.
You know what? Maybe, or do we do cornerbacks and safeties together?
I don't think we did because they were such separate positions with the Giants.
Okay, then maybe we could do like safeties next and we can have like a Xavier McKinney, Logan Ryan, Julian Love conversation and where do we see the position going forward. There's some good safeties at the Senior Bowl too that I'm excited about. There's somebody from Penn State who I like.
See, I haven't even watched the DBs. When we have Michael Coe on, I'm going to be like, all right, you're a DB. You run the Senior Bowl. Talk to me about some of these DBs. Get me excited on some. Besides Jalen Petrie out of Baylor. I love Jalen Petrie. So, all right, that's an episode. We'll be back whenever we get this GM. Again, you probably listened to that episode before you listened to this one, and especially the end of this one, if we're being completely honest. And if you've listened to the end of this one, I legitimately love you, and I thank you for supporting us. Because if you listen to the end of this episode, you are real deal talking Giants people. So we do appreciate you guys. We'll be back when we're back. Enjoy weekend. Hopefully Andrew Thomas and me get a nice relaxing birthday, but probably not because of the Giants GM. Until then, let's go Big Blue.
John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.